The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and thank you for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. It's always a joy to welcome my friend Mark Goldstein back to the studios. He and I are socially distanced, and we are in the same roof, though. It's under the same roof. It's so nice to be together, Mark.
It's great to see you again, Mike. You know, getting together with you and doing these shows, it reminds me of Garrison Keillor and the Prairie Home Companion.
Wait a minute. Now, that sounds like something from 1948. Is this an...
It's a National Public Radio kind of show.
Oh, yes, I am.
Where, you know, they just kind of sit around and talk and tell stories. But I feel like we should have a couple of couches in here with a cup of tea or something.
Yeah, tea time with Mike. Yeah, I like that. I would be better at that kind of tea than I would be the golf type of tea time. So as much as I love that game, it does not love me.
Now, I tell folks that generally I shoot in the mid-70s.
And that's for nine holes,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, then I have to do the back nine.
I can tell you that you and I need to go golfing together. We might actually have some competition going on this. That's awesome, my friend. Oh, my word. Well, since I've seen you, you have donned a new look. You have basically it's like a Hawaiian type of shirt. It's a print shirt with... You know, you don't have any cruise ships on it, Mark, so...
Well, you know, this is a shirt that I would wear on the cruise ship. Mm-hmm. And this last Monday, Ronnie and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Normally we do it on a cruise.
Yes.
So this week I've just been kind of wearing cruise clothes.
Yeah. So how many cruises have you been on?
Somewhere over 30.
Yeah, I've got a friend that would beat you on that. I don't know how many they've been on, but I've got to find that out. But, boy, 30, that's awesome. I think I've been on 4, and they're wonderful. There's, nothing like them in times where it's safe to do it.
Well, you know, and even once they start cruising again, Ronnie and I are going to wait until we hear from people that we know and trust that have gone cruising to see if it's something that we'd even like, how, because with what they have to do to really make it work, I'm not sure that we're going to want to do it.
Well, why I always like having you here, and we're going to continue that question that you've just, or the implication about cruising, it goes along with what I do want to talk about in segment one here. And that is the changes that all of us have had to go through. You've had to go through changes. You transitioned July 1 out of the Central Florida Christian Chamber, and Crystal Parker is just doing a great job.
She is.
In the new role there. But I know that that was a big deal for you. We're also going to be talking today about your involvement in CLC. And that's exciting to see what's going on. We'll explain that acronym and your role in that coming up. But let's talk first of all about the impact that we're all feeling. This program that you're hearing, folks, today was pre-recorded at the end of last week. So a lot of the events from the weekend are already transpired. And if some of those things, even coming out of the ending day of the convention, we don't have privy to all of that, but there's so much going on a daily basis. It's almost like you hear something new or a different group that has now been affected from a way maybe of a government intrusion is what we're seeing in some areas of the country. And our friend Matt Staver is very involved at the Liberty Council with all that. But this issue with the coronavirus, Mark, it's something that has just absolutely affected everybody. And I know it has you. And like you said, you guys, you and your lovely wife enjoy cruising, and it's really affected that business.
It has. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, I think we have to keep everything in perspective. You know, a master illusionist, while he or she is doing something over here, they want to keep our attention. While the left hand's doing one thing, they want everybody mm-hmm. keeping an eye on the right hand. And I think we have to be very careful focusing all our time and attention on the right hand, because I don't think it's about who becomes president. I don't believe it's about mask or not mask, 6 feet or 1 foot. You know, I think it goes beyond that. And what I love and what I've been hanging on is Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16, going through 18, that says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I'm sorry.
No, sorry to say that. You know, that is a great promise. That's one of the greatest promises that we can think of and dwell in a day like today. I find that little analogy you gave about a magician and the sleight of hand, the illusionist, is really a working illustration for us in this discussion, because there seems to be no end of these types of sleight of hands going on. And it does make you wonder, what should my attention be focused on if I'm not looking, to the answer? Am I looking to the answer from the government? And that's what seems to be happening a lot right now. People are, their eyes are on what the government is saying, maybe more than what they're trusting God to say.
You know, you had mentioned that, July 1st, I was no longer president of the mm-hmm. chamber. And the first thing I realized in July was I had more time. I didn't realize how hard I was working, how many hours I was putting in, and I had more time. And we've talked about this before. My Bible reading,
mm-hmm.
Just the way I do it, is I do the Bible in 90 days.
Perpetually.
And I just finished it about a week ago for the 34th time.
Wow.
Well, but here's the thing.
I don't know that I know anybody else that would have done that.
Well, because I'm crazy. But no, I think for me, that is how I put in practice that scripture that I just read. Because when you don't watch TV, you don't watch the news, you don't read it in the paper, you don't spend time mm-hmm. on the internet in any of the news feeds or anything like that, you have more time. I mean, to me, sitcoms just don't do it. I get kind of down when I watch just to hear where culture is going. So for me, that's what's seen. Mm-hmm. And I don't focus on that. 2 weeks ago, and I think you remember song because you made the cut, I had 2,600 people, connections in Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I now have right around 500. Because I needed to get rid of this divisiveness, and anything that would bring me back to what is seen and keep me from focusing on what is unseen. So, you know, right now I think 10 days ahead on the 90 days. Last month I finished it in 58 days. But, you know, instead of just reading it in the morning, I'm reading it in the morning and evening. So mm-hmm. it's going quicker. But the idea of getting that much Word of God in that short a period of time, God can really speak, especially when you don't go through it like a Bible study and get bogged down mm-hmm. on a sentence or a word, but you read it like you would a novel. And there are times where something will come up and you go, wait a minute, I saw that before. And you do a word search and you say, wow, look at this. You know, so again, just if I could just implore our listeners to do one thing, it's to download the YouVersion app.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people already have it, but go to whole, as far as Bible readings, whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And under that, there's the Bible in 90 days.
Mm-hmm. It's under plans. Yeah,
it is. And you find that it's wonderful being able to read God's love letter to us
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again. It's beautiful. And we're able to keep our eyes on the unseen, which what that does is it gives us hope and joy.
Yeah. When you talk around the area to different people, be they leaders or be they just business people that own businesses, are you feeling this optimism because of maybe some of the words that are coming out? Are you seeing any change at all in people with regards to the kind of COVID virus lockdown that we've been on? Are you seeing anything like that?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think people are bringing different attitudes, emotions to the table. One of the things I rejoiced at is I went to Publix yesterday. They no longer had the queuing lines. You could just go right to a checkout. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was progress. But you know, what really breaks my heart are pastors, what pastors are going through right mm-hmm. now, because it's very divisive. You have people who say, I'm not going to come to church if people don't have to wear masks. And you have just as many say, I'm not coming to church if I have to wear a mask.
You know, I think
pastors are in the middle.
We would never have believed, if someone would have told us a year ago, that there was going to be a new level of division and it was actually going to be in churches over this. But I've heard a number of people say exactly what you're talking about,
yeah.
that there are people that are in members of churches. Then these are good people, but some feel more strongly about it than others. And sometimes it's because they've got family members that are of the vulnerable group, and they're trying to protect them, and that's all understandable. But there is now a new issue to divide on
yeah.
that is sad. It's so sad.
It is. Now, if there is any lemonade that can come from that stinky lemon, it's the fact that there's so many people who have relied on church mm-hmm. and seen that as their Christian experience. They fill the square. They go to church. They pay their tithe. They do this, do. But do they really have a personal relationship, a strong relationship? And if anything, this may be shaking people into realizing that they need to get themselves together with God.
Mm-hmm.
They need their whole Christian experience comes down to their relationship, not what they do and where they're going on Sunday morning.
And you know, sometimes it's hard for people to sort that out because Scripture tells us not to neglect
yeah.
the assembling together of the believers. So we want to do that. We want to be together. And I've had other people, and they're right in saying this, that Christianity. John Stenberger, my good friend, the attorney here in Orlando, made this comment that you can fulfill other religions, Eastern religions, you can fulfill them. He used the expression, you can reach nirvana sitting by yourself on a hillside in those religions. But Christianity demands fellowship. It demands us being together, us serving together, us living our lives with relationship to each other. So there is this aspect that for our people, and we know that the church is not just a Sunday thing either. It's the people at work and all.
Well, and we're the body of Christ.
Right.
And you can't have a finger over here and a thumb over there and the foot a mile down the road. There's power in the body. We all have gifts. We have spiritual gifts, and they're all different, but brought together. It's like, hey, look, I love hearing a violin. I love hearing a cello.
Mm-hmm.
But you put a violin, a cello, a harp, the piano, a flute. You know what I'm saying? You bring it all together.
Yeah, you have an orchestra.
Oh, and that is an amazing sound. Yes, can we function as Christians on our own? Sometimes you have to, but the power is in the synagogue, the ecclesia, the coming together, not church as a noun, but church as a verb. And I think perhaps this is a shift to get people to realize church is a verb and find ways of doing it outside the four walls as a body of believers.
Well, I believe we're called to do that. We're called to be the church. Yeah, I love that image that the church is not the steeple. The church represents the people. The people represent the church. And on Sunday morning, when we're all together, we're hopefully that's the idea. When the church comes together for a weekly service, we are the church at worship. On Monday morning, when we get up and go to work, we are the church in our workplaces. We never stop being the church. And that's what we're called to do.
And if you, any successful football team, before they go out to take the field, the coach, the staff, the players, they're all together in the locker room. And there's a unity. There's a coming together, the game plan, if you will. There's a power there, an energy that when they go out and they take the field, they're ready to play. And I think that's what church is. It brings us together. We celebrate. We worship together. And worship isn't sitting there what we get.
That's what the church service is.
Right.
What you're, yeah, right.
It isn't what we get. It's what we bring. And when you have a body bringing their gifts, bringing their worship to the table at one time, there's power in that. You know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, God would smell the aroma and it was pleasing. And I think when we get together as believers, there's an aroma and it's pleasing to God. And for that little bit of the week, we're all in one accord. We're all celebrating. We're worshiping. We're getting charged up and ready to go. We're getting our sponge filled because Lord knows, from the time once we leave the church, life is happening and we get squeezed and we're ministering. And yeah, we fill up on our own through our own personal study, but there's just something about getting together with people who believe the same way as you and want to celebrate with you and me.
Now, I agree with that. So let's say you had the ability, and this is one thing. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering who it is that I'm talking with, this is Mark Goldstein, former leader of the Christian Chamber. Mark's been in ministry before. He's been in business before. He combines all of that. In fact, you've written a book about all of that, where work is worship. And that we'll talk about that coming up in a moment. But Mark, if you could gather together, let's just say the biggest group of these people that are on this new divide, those that are struggling over, let's say, the mask issue or whether to meet publicly or stay in the whole zone of doing everything virtual. If you could address them all at one time, what would be your advice to that group?
Don't let your knowledge, what you believe is right, interfere with what God says is right. Paul, and maybe I didn't say it's right, but you know, Paul said, look, I know that meat right there is nothing. It's not for idols and everything, but you know what? If somebody saw me eat that and they were younger, you know, in the Lord or whatever, I wouldn't do it because if it was going to cause a stumbling block, I wouldn't use my knowledge as a reason to do that. So look, if you think the whole thing with mass is a conspiracy, is there's something behind it, that's fine. But it, don't use that
it's like a tool or a device.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. for someone else. If, you know, personally, I don't like the mask. I wear it as little as possible. But you know, when I'm around people and they say, mm-hmm. wear the mask, even if it says it's recommended, not legislator or whatever, I'll wear it because I don't want a little piece of cloth or paper to come between me and someone else and the Lord and that whole relationship. That would be ridiculous.
I love the image and the scripture about not being a stumbling block. Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing about Paul, he did talk a lot about not, you know, not just doing everything your way and understanding that there are liberties that we all can have, but not to flaunt our freedoms,
yes.
on someone else who is not as free as you. And so there, yeah. is this deferring to another for a good purpose. And that's not weakness. And that's not even necessarily giving up on your own convictions about,
right.
things, but it is letting love trump everything else that's going on in this scenario.
And you just hit the nail on the head. You know, love covers a multitude of, mm-hmm. sins. And it's one thing to have knowledge, but I'd just soon have wisdom.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to have both of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah. wisdom is using your knowledge,
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
There's no end of great little stories that I've heard about that, but we do want both. In ample supply, if at all possible, wisdom and knowledge. Talking to a guy that's got both of them, it's Mark Goldstein's my guest today, and we're going to be back together here on Afternoons with Mike coming up in a moment. This is The Shepherd. In the studio today with Mark Goldstein. Mark, I don't have a title for you now. So what is your director of Central Florida CLC?
Yes, Area Director of Christian Leadership Concepts,
yeah.
for Central Florida.
Well, now let's talk about that for just a moment.
Okay.
Your obviously new role here is not brand new to you because,
no.
you've been involved with Craig Fry and the people of CLC,
yeah.
before. And you are also now going to be the discipleship arm for a big event called the Better Man event. Mm-hmm. That is, it's coming. It's not what we thought it would be in 2020. But then again, nothing in 2020 has been what we thought it would be, right?
You know, actually, it's better.
Ah, I like that optimism.
Well, it was going to be an arena event.
Uh-huh.
They've done it 15 years.
Yeah.
So this was going to be at Silver Spurs Arena. They were going to put 9,000 people in the room for one evening. And they'd have to go to Kissimmee for it. Now, it's virtual or digital. I don't call it virtual because it's a real program. They are going to produce it live, but it's going to be live streamed,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be all over the country and all over the world,
mm-hmm.
because all people have to do is pay $10 and they can have a house full of guys if they want to have some guys at the house, or they can watch it themselves, but it's not geographically restricted,
mm-hmm.
now. So logistically, it has to be done a little differently, especially how we, through Christian Leadership Concepts, follow up with the guys who've been juiced for Jesus that night to get them into programs. We're looking at some different ways now of making the connection. But whereas before there may have been 9,000 at the most who were in that arena, now we could have 90,000, 900,000. Who knows how many, and not restricted to geography. So to me, that's the lemonade. But Christian Leadership Concepts is for men, and it's a program that helps small groups of guys get together to not necessarily a Bible study, but it's a Bible journey using other material to help them learn how to be better husbands,
mm-hmm.
better dads, more godly mm-hmm. dads, more godly business people, folks in the community. And man, Mike, for such a time as this, guys have been emasculated in this world. And the men, you know, I believe what Paul said in Ephesians 5, the fact that, you know, 5:21 through on, how the home is scripture structured. And I think men are the priests of the home. They're not the bosses. They're not the bullies. But men are accountable to God
right.
for their families. And are men today acquiescing to what their responsibilities really are? And so that's the role of CLC. So really, I'm doing a lot of what I've done for decades, except now just pouring specifically into the lives of men.
Now, you know, you've seen at this event in the past, a lot of people, yeah, I like what you said, become juiced for Jesus.
Yeah.
I like that. They become fired up. They become turned on. I have had a chance to talk to a few of them myself who have been really impacted and affected. Some of them, especially last year at UCF when it was there, they kind of came over on a whim at the last moment. They joined and they filled
right.
out that stadium
yep.
over at UCF.
Right.
And they got to hear a lot of amazing speakers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, then realizing, wow, I could have missed this. I could have missed the camaraderie. And there's so much about wonderful stuff that takes place when men have other relationships that they can look at within other men and use those friendships, use
yes.
the encouragement one with another. That is just unique, and we all need it. I think every man needs that.
And to take it a step further, it's great to have that, but what do you have the morning after? You know, is it just same old, same old? What can you have to build
mm-hmm.
on that enthusiasm,
right.
build on that excitement? To, you know, it's one thing to put a plant into some dirt,
mm-hmm.
but you got to water it. You have to cultivate it. It needs to get some sun. You know, Jesus talks about the seeds, you know, the farmer sowed the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that the guys who come to the event, or actually who participate in the event, who watch it, become the guys who are in that good soil producing abundant harvest. So.
Well, I love the speakers this year in this virtual event, or as you said, a digital event. Mariano Rivera,
yeah.
great Yankees pitcher, one of the, well, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. He's just one of my favorites. Mark, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this, but I grew up in Indiana, and I had two teams that I followed. Number one was, and because of the early impact of Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris in my life,
Yankees.
As a young baseball player, I became a Yankees
yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
Even though I lived in Indiana, I had never gone to New York, not even close to going to New York. But boy, oh boy, did I love that team. And I love their uniform, the pinstripes forever. And then, of course, Cardinals fan. Got to be a Cardinals fan if you're from Indiana. And I love those two teams. This guy was something special. Then in addition to that, the music, the rap, I could call it his artistry and his ministry, Lecrae
yeah.
is going to be there as well.
Grammy Award winner.
Amazing. And
yeah.
he's appeared on just about every big program that there is to appear on. He's really a unique artist.
Mm-hmm.
Then Reverend Sammy Rodriguez, he's a very popular speaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pastor. He's also a movie producer, a comedian by the name of Johnny W. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to turn it on. And then a legend, and he's kind of here in Florida, Daryl Strawberry. He's
yeah.
another Yankees player. Oh, my goodness, now a minister.
Well, you know what happened with Daryl, because Daryl does live in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of the ministry, of a better man. And what had happened was, because the program got moved from May to November, it conflicted with Mariano Rivera's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So what was decided is that he could pre-record earlier, and since it's digital, that works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked Darryl if he would go with Brian Buckley and a couple other to New York, up to New York, to record it. So that's how we got Darryl in the program now. So, you know, two legends. I mean, they played together too.
Yeah,
so
yeah. They're amazing. And I can't wait to see this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. So your role in this is, again, in follow-up.
Right.
Because we do know, and what you said is so true, we do not want to have a conference mentality in life. We don't want to have a special event mentality. We live our lives 365. And that's the way it needs to be. And when, just like on a Sunday service is not to be the all in all of the church,
No. So
it is with a big event. And when you put all of your apples into one basket and that event is everything, well, that event ends and people can become disillusioned by Tuesday and it's gone.
And by the way, in the middle of September, 15th, 16th, and 17th, we're having... it started out to be CLC alumni meetings to bring them together, show them some of the new curriculum, talk about the relationship between CLC and BME. Well, that's alphabet soup.
Yeah, right.
But
even rhymes.
It does. And we ought to make a song about that. But you can play your guitar. But anyhow, what we've decided to do is just open it up to others that are interested. So if it's okay with you, may I give my cell phone?
Absolutely.
And if folks are interested in attending any of these informational meetings, they can learn a little bit more about CLC. They can learn a bit more about the BME event. We're going to feed folks breakfast and lunch, whichever meeting you come to. And ladies, if you want to RSVP for your husbands and make sure you kick them out the door to come, that's wonderful too. But you can give me a call at 407-484-3899. 407-484-3899. It's absolutely free. I'd love to see you there and let you interact with some alum. And actually, I'd like to meet you too.
Absolutely. That's Mark Goldstein, who you'll be calling. And Mark is, CLC stands for Christian Leadership Concepts.
Yes.
And I'm working with Craig to get him on the program. He's going to be with me here.
Craig is phenomenal. I love him to pieces. He's the real deal. Former pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once a pastor, always a pastor.
I think you're right. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart as well. I had a chance last evening to be with the man that I worked with for 17 years and his wife. My wife and I got together for dinner, had a wonderful time. And, you know, there's just a love and a bond that we as believers can have for one another that goes beyond anything else that the world just can't get or understand. And so grateful, Mark, for your friendship and your role. The last time you were here with Jacqueline Lynn, who together with Jackie, you wrote a book.
Yes.
So how's that going?
It's going well. I mean, the fact is now that it's done, it's done. And, you know, but.
And people read it.
Yeah. And, you know.
It's a good book, by the way.
Thank you. I've had this story, what I wanted to share, my DNA, and Jackie Lynn, a Pulitzer-nominated author, started a series called Conversations. And the idea of it is to where you get with somebody, a thought leader or somebody that has something interesting to talk about, and you come with a series of questions, and you do a conversation, and it's recorded, and then that's transcribed, edited, and that becomes a book. So it's Work as Worship, How Your Labor Becomes Your Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And really, just to summarize it, it all comes from my angst. Anytime I hear somebody say, I'm leaving business to go into ministry. Because the reality is, if you're in business and you're a Christian, that is your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
ministry to your employees, your employers, your customers, clients, everybody you come in contact with. You're a minister. And, you know, there's a ton of people that, you know, if you're a Christian and interact with them, it has more impact on them than when a pastor does. Mm-hmm. Because you don't expect somebody that doesn't have the title to exude and reflect the attributes of Jesus. Business people, you...
Now, that would be the way the world looks at it, for a
right.
fact.
Yeah. And, you know, business people, Christian business people, interact with more non-believers in a week than any pastor will in a year,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, that's something that can be said about the opportunities for evangelism that come from that, because this one thing that can happen, and I loved the fact that during all my years of ministry, I managed to always have some outlets, most of them involving music, where I would be out and doing music in contexts mm-hmm. where you are talking to other people that are not believers. And, you know, I think that we can become too sterile in our walk, and we only want to be around people that are believers. And
yes.
we're called to be, we're in the world, we're just not of the world.
Right.
We're called
to salt and light.
We're called to take the message.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, the last words that Jesus spoke there in the beginning of Acts is that we're to go into the whole earth.
Yeah.
And to take the message of the gospel.
Right.
And to take it all of these places that he pointed them to, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world.
Yeah. And it isn't just what we do, how we physically interact in something. It's how we materially do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just because of where we give every month, part of my ministry is doing the Jesus film in Latin America. Part of my ministry is helping to create adoptive families and safe families through Bethany Christian Services.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is to help people get jobs and keep people a safety net under people who are unemployed or underemployed through Christian help.
Mm-hmm.
And the list goes on. But because of what I'm doing in through my business, having the funds to then financially bless others, I actually have a part in that ministry.
That's a wonderful way to look at it, because a lot of times people, you know, they can't go necessarily to these places in
right.
other countries. Our mutual friend that leads the great work that's going on, Sean Sullivan, that does the great work
Mission
in Ukraine.
Mission 823.
Yeah, Mission 823. I may not be able to go to Ukraine, but Sean does go.
Yes.
And we can be part of his work and sow into that and take part in that ministry.
Yeah.
And we're doing that. And that's the beautiful thing about relationships. That's a beautiful thing about the church coming together. This, it's like a Joseph's coat of many colors.
Yeah.
You know, we've got people coming from all different streams, all different backgrounds, even all different areas of the country, yet we can be together and working on a common mission.
Absolutely.
I like that. My guest today is Mark Goldstein. We're going to be back with Mark for one more segment. It's coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back again on Afternoons with Mike. So glad to have you along. By the way, Mark, since you were up here, we have the podcast for this program. It's going. It's big in terms of availability. We've got it on our website. You can get all of our shows on demand there, but also through iTunes, Apple, and Spotify. Those have already come in.
Yeah, and what was amazing is you told me about it, and within like 30 seconds, I pulled out my cell phone, and I was able to subscribe to it.
And then you'll be alerted when a new episode, when your episode hits, it's going to be dropping in right there on you, and you can listen to it. And
nice.
And so, friends, if you'd like more information on that, we're going to have to get our website now updated. It probably will be by the time you're hearing this. And that is theshepherdradio.com, theshepherdradio.com. Or you can simply go to your smartphone or tablet, go to the Apple. It's like a really cool little icon for podcasting. Choose the podcasts and search out Afternoons with Mike, and you'll see it. White letters on a blue, royal blue background. There it is, Afternoons with Mike, and you can dial through all of the episodes right now. They go all the way back to the beginning of May. Wow. So we've got a lot of shows that are up there, and they're all right there at the touch of your finger. That's Afternoons with Mike podcast, and you can get that right on your Apple iTunes. Mark, you're a guy that for years have been in touch with business people. You're a guy that yourself, you're a businessman yourself, and you've also been in the past a pastor. In fact, you spoke what will have been on Sunday, which would be now yesterday. Mm-hmm. You brought a message. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thanks, Mike. The title of the message is Rahab's Ark. Now, we read about Noah's Ark and the Ark of the Covenant, but this is on Rahab's Ark. And, you know, when Israel went, they crossed the Jordan, and the first conquest was going to be Jericho. And God told them exactly what he was going to do, and that they were going to rout that, and it was in God's hands. But they still sent a couple spies. And so you have to ask, why? Why did they send spies? And I don't think it was to kind of scope the place out of how, where they were going to attack, an entry point or whatever. I think it was specifically to find a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they met Rahab. Her house was on the wall, a great venue for looking out. And the deal was this: you don't rat us out, and you, your family, and all that belong to you will be saved. You just have to bring them into the house. If they're not in the house, that's your fault. But if they're in your house, we don't know how big her house was, but Israel shows up. By the way, it said it about four or five times. When you read mm-hmm. scripture, and when anything's repeated,
yep.
we know that's important.
It is.
So anyhow.
Special emphasis.
Day one, the trumpets, the ark, the priests, the soldiers, I think, they marched around one time. The glory of God went around that city one time. And I believe on that day, there were people that saw the glory of God, and they believed. And they went into Rahab's house. Day two, more believed, and they went into Rahab's house. Day seven, they marched seven times. To me, that was God just saying, people, 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 I love you. Go into the house. And I think they had seven chances to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jericho was demolished, but they brought out Rahab and all that were hers. Mike, I think what that tells us is that Jesus said, look, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff is going to happen. But it isn't the end yet. I believe that, you know, throughout the centuries, the ark has gone around the world one time, another time. And I believe we're living in the age of seven marches.
Hmm.
I think that we're seeing things globally and in so many different ways. Everything that we're told would happen are kind of happening at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's God just saying, wake up, wake up. So all that, how it compares or how it relates to today as business people, as just citizens, whatever, is that going back to what we said in the beginning, keeping our eyes on what is unseen rather than what's mm-hmm. seen. It's not so much how much money you put in the bank, but it's what's your relational bank account look like? The relationship between you and the Lord and you and others that he's brought to you mm-hmm. to minister to. So I think it's that multiple bottom line right now. It's not what we can make and save up, but it's who we can save.
Mm.
And so what I think it looks like, I think it's up to each individual. You have the glass half full, glass, you know, half empty. Do you try to, begrudgingly consume the lemons, or do you look for the wonderful lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's what you're looking for is there. I think if a business person looks at it as to, all right, these are the facts. So what?
Mm-hmm.
How can I overcome that? Wayne Gretzky, one of the greatest things he said when they said is what makes great players, hockey players, ones that you knew where the puck always was. He says, no. He says, great players know where the puck is. Legends know where the puck's going.
Mm.
I think as Christians, as long as we embrace the fact that the events in Revelation are going to happen and could very well happen in our lifetime, and embrace that and realize that the good guys won and that we're on the home team. We're royalty. We're sons and daughters of God. Our inheritance is waiting for us in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The story is just playing out. We need to look at that and embrace it and say that's good news and conduct our lives in that joy that comes with knowing that all things are going to be made new.
You know, there's something that you've brought up in that analogy about Joshua and Jericho that I really don't think it's been something I've thought of for a long, long time. And that was the fact that this went on, like you said, for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched seven times. So that's an automatic assurance that there were people who were looking on, looking down from the walls, from atop the walls, and that sense of anticipation. And you know, there had to be a consummate sense of maybe even fear that started to develop on some of those people, like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Right.
A dread maybe, and maybe anticipation is a lighter word, but there certainly was a wondering, and maybe that tension grew day by day that causes some people to say, there's something coming down. And that kind of repetitive nature would be something that I think we see in people today. There's almost like this growing sense of fear in our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to realize that God is in control, just like he was in that day. And I love that picture of there being a place of safety for the believers, because that's what an ark has always represented.
Right.
When I think of ark, I mean, there's only a couple of places where you see that word in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was placed into an ark in the bulrushes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what did that do? Well, it did not mean that he escaped all of the death, because it went on around him.
Right.
He was a baby. He didn't know all of that.
Right.
And he was literally, by some people would say, you know, cast out in the waters, so to speak. Now, we know that there were people watching him from the side, but it was a place of safety for him.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Noah's Ark was a place of safety, but what did they have to do? They had to ride out that storm.
Sure.
But they were kept safe.
And what's also interesting is that when you look at the book of Revelation, you know, you can come up with all different kind of theological variances where you're going on it. But one thing is true. There's a pulse. There's a rhythm to the book. And it builds with intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like those seven times around. How many people accept Christ because they hear they don't want to go to hell? I mean, you know, so people embrace for different motives. But something else is in that narrative that jumps out several times, which shows it's very important. You see it in Deuteronomy 31 in Moses' interaction with Joshua, and then in Joshua 1 with God's interaction
mm-hmm.
with him. He says to him, Joshua hears this seven times in two chapters.
I know what you're going to say.
Be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
And I think as business owners, as just Christians, we are called now to be strong and courageous. Our strength comes from the Lord. It comes in our relationship with Him. It's daily putting on the whole armor of God that we read about. And what does that look like? And we be we're courageous through that relationship with Him. It's like, remember Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine?
What me worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What is, you know, who do we fear? When God's in control, over and over again, we read the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's.
Hmm.
The battle's not ours. It's the Lord.
It's so true.
In Second Chronicles, chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, they know that they're going to get attacked by the Moabites, by all kinds of ites. And they're shaking in their shoes. And long story short, the prophet says, go out there. The battle is God's. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
They went out there without weapons. All they did is they went out and sung.
Mm-hmm.
And as they sung and worshiped God, the enemy was routed.
Mm-hmm.
Not by Jehoshaphat, but by God.
Yep.
So
that's right.
I think that's what we need to. We need to sing. We need to rejoice. I'm not singing right now, but we need to sing.
I was going to say, okay, Mark's going to lead us in a song. Well, you know, it's always a surprise when you're here. And today I've surprised myself by actually being able to quote Alfred E. Newman. So who would have thunk that would have ever happened? But my good friend Mark Goldstein dropping by one more time. Oh, it's always great to have you on the show
great
today.
Great to be here.
And we look forward to the next time you're back, because he will be back. God is using this man mightily. So thank you for being here again today.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
You got it. Friends, thanks for being with me today. Don't forget, check out the podcast. Go to theshepherdradio.com or iTunes at Afternoons with Mike. That's all you need. Those are the keywords, Afternoons with Mike. And we'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd.